Well, good morning, you guys. It is good to see you this morning. We've been talking, Pastor Kirk's been kicking off this series called Wisdom, Pathway to Life. And so far we've heard a lot about the life of Solomon and just kind of the pieces to build into the background and the backdrop of Solomon's life that maybe help beg the question of like, how do I get wisdom? Okay, because it's not like Solomon was just like, you know, oh, I want wisdom, and God just gave it to him. No, there was a process. There was a process behind that, and it's easy to read the Bible and miss that process so many times. Okay, and so anyway, we've been talking about that, and right away when Kirk asked me to speak on wisdom, back when he was kicking off this series, right away, the phrase that popped into my mind was, wisdom walks. Wisdom walks. And I wrote it down in my notebook, and I didn't really have a lot of thoughts about it at the time, but I just knew that that was from the Holy Spirit, and that's going to be what I'm going to be talking about. And then Kirk made the image here, and it was this pathway to life. I don't think he told me what his subtitle for the series was at the time, but it just kind of fit. And so we're going to talk Wisdom Walks, and it's about embracing the pace and the pathways of Jesus today. That's what I really want to talk about, is embracing the pace and the pathways of Jesus. Have you ever heard this concept, a story within a story? A story within a story. So this week, on Tuesday, I was going to be doing my regular outreach ministry to the homeless. We just finished this huge garbage cleanup process or project last week. And I thought, okay, we just cleaned up all the garbage, but how are we going to keep that sustainable for them? And so I had it in my mind, I'm going to go to Ace, I'm going to buy a big, huge 32-gallon garbage container, I'm going to get them some garbage bags. They've been having issues with flies and mosquitoes and stuff like that, and so I thought, I'm going to get them some of those nice, big fogger things. And so I'm in my mind, I've already got my mission set. All right, I'm going to go to Ace, I'm going to get the garbage can, I'm going to get the bug spray, and then I'm going to head to the church, I'm going to make their meals, and I'm going to go out to the camp, right? And so I'm on my way to Ace, and along Highway 10, there's a guy walking. Now, if you drive along Highway 10 in Sisseton, South Dakota, there's always a guy walking. It's always happening. But for some reason, this guy was walking, and I noticed, and it was like, huh, wonder what he's up to today. You know, I just kind of felt that nudge. But you know what I did? I wish this story was better than this. I just kind of went, brushed it off and went, I'm on my mission, right? So I go to Ace, I buy the things and stuff like that, and then I'm thinking about it. One of the guys out at the homeless camp, he just had a brand new grandbaby born. And I thought, man, it would be great to go to Dollar General and buy some baby supplies for this little baby. I'll find out where this baby's living in the housing area, and I'll just go and bless this young family and stuff like that. And so I've got my next mission, right? And so I pull out of Ace, and I'm driving down Highway 10, and I get by about Super 8, and guess what I see? That same guy walking. And I think, huh, I wonder what his story is. And I wish the story was better than this, but guess what I did? Brushed it off and kept on my mission. I went to Dollar General, bought the stuff and everything like that, and as I'm walking through Dollar General, as I'm walking to the till, I'm like, you know, God, if I see him a third time, maybe I'll listen. Maybe I'll listen. So I bought the stuff, go out to my car, and I drive in. And guess what? I didn't see the guy. So I was off the hook, right? You know, right? That's the cue for the Christian. Oh, I'm off the hook because, God, you didn't show me a third time, right? And you're not off the hook, right? And so I just kept feeling this nudge, though. I kept feeling this nudge, and it was so crazy. God is so good. God is so good, because I went back to the church, and then I had all these donations come in, and so I wanted to go out to House of Hope Shelter and deliver those donations, and so it was kind of a long process going out there, and I do some ministry stuff out at House of Hope, and I came back into town, and it's already late in the day, and I'm making them sandwiches, and I'm like, man, I got to get out to the camp and stuff like that, and I get out to the camp, and I'm bringing my cart, and all the time, whenever they see me walking across the field pushing my cart, they always want to come and help. Right? And so I'm halfway across the field, and I see one of the guys that I'm always familiar with. He comes right away. But then lagging behind him, guess who it is? The guy that I saw on Highway 10. You know, there's always a story within a story. And oftentimes we get so locked into our narrative of how the day needs to go, how life should go, of how it should be, how things should play out. And we think that our story is the story. All along, forgetting that there's a bigger story always playing in the background. And the role of us as Christians is to get that story to the foreground of our lives. And so I start talking with this guy, and I find out that he graduated from Teen Challenge, and he'd been sober for 6 years. And that morning, he and his wife got into a fight, and he just started walking. And somehow, he found himself out at the camp, and he thought, while I'm at the camp, I'm going to bless these folks. I'm going to help them clean up, which he had. He had done a lot of raking out there and picking stuff up. But then, if you go out in the camp for any length of period of time, you know this starts to happen, where they open a bottle of booze, and they start passing it around. And this guy who had been sober for 6 years took a drink. So I encountered him in this great moment of shame. He wasn't drunk, but he was headed there. And he'd already felt in his heart that I've gone this far. What's it gonna matter, right? And it's by the grace of God that I got delayed out at House of Hope, that I got back into town late, that my story, this guy's story, and God's story could collide. And I just needed to slow down to see it. And I just needed to take time to see it. And so I want to talk to you today about pace, because we are living life at a pace that is not sustainable. Many of us, me included. And so I want to talk to you about pace because I feel like there's pitfalls to running, right? What are the pitfalls of running? You know, Kirk, you're a runner. What are the pitfalls? I'm kidding. What are the pitfalls of running? That was a joke and that was rude. I'm sorry. What are the pitfalls of running? Bad ankles, Jerry says. You bet. What are some other pitfalls of running? Shin splints, definitely. Tripping. You can't sustain it. What did you say, Marilyn?
Falling down.
You bet. Yes. There are pitfalls to running. Running has pitfalls like leaving people behind. As I'm on my mission to Ace and Dollar General and I see a guy on a highway and Holy Spirit says, you know, you should think about that guy today. Maybe you should stop and see that guy today. Maybe he needs some help today. Leaving people behind, it's exhausting. It's not sustainable, I heard you say, Jim. You make mistakes. One of these times, oh man, I was playing kickball when I was supposed to be in math class. And long story. But anyway, I was playing kickball when I was supposed to be in math class. Teacher wasn't in the room. We had a fire escape on the outside of the building. Put the pieces together. Anyway, and so I'm out there with some friends of mine. And this kid, this friend of mine, kicks this huge high fly kick in the air, and I take off running. Oh my goodness, I am going to catch this thing. It's going to be awesome. I'm awesome. Right? And so I'm sprinting, and I didn't realize this, but at Rossel, there's this old tennis courts. Now, the courts are still there, but the nets are gone, which means the poles or the standards that have been anchored into the cement are still there. And they come right about, yeah. Okay? And so I am sprinting and sprinting and sprinting, and all of a sudden I feel something quite abruptly. And I ended up on the ground. But the good news is Trisha and I were still able to have 3 kids. But it was bad. There are pitfalls to running. And I'm going to say this. I don't know. I wrote this down this morning. I felt Holy Spirit was this. Some of you are chasing something. Some of you are chasing approval. Some of you are chasing a buck. Some of you are chasing a dream. and it is a pitfall, and you are running towards destruction right now, okay? Just going to throw that out there. I'm not sure where that's going to land. If you want prayer for that later, get prayer for that later. But you miss stuff when you are running. You miss stuff. Proverbs 19:2. Enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Running after that kickball without thinking about the consequences, no good, Stephen. Haste makes mistakes or waste. You bet. Haste makes mistakes, right? And so I want to talk about this idea of pace and living life at the speed of Jesus today. Life at the speed of Jesus. I once heard a pastor say this: Jesus lived life at 3 miles per hour. I remember sharing that one time on a Wednesday night, and Stan, I think you asked me, what does that mean, Stephen, right? He always walked. He always walked. Jesus walked. Jesus walked. Jesus walked. Jesus walked, okay? He always walked. He had this slow, steady, and dare I say, intentional pace to the life that he lived here. What's crazy? He only had 3 years to save the human race, to establish God's kingdom. That sounds like a recipe for running, doesn't it? But he stayed at a slow, steady pace. I dare you, your dream, that dollar, and that approval ain't worth you running right now. Jesus lived life at this slow, steady pace. You've already heard us talk about this today, God's timing versus our timing. In our men's fellowship, we've been talking about the life of Abraham, right? And just this, the promise that God gave to Abraham. And something that we heard in that series when in our men's fellowship is getting to where God wants me to go isn't as important as becoming who he wants me to be, amen. Right? It ain't about getting to heaven. It's about being heaven while you're still here, right? That is the idea. And so we got to get into this pace of Jesus, because eternity is an endurance race. It's not a sprint. It is not a sprint. Eternity is an endurance race. And so much time, we are focused on our temporal story here. Got to get this job. Got to get this house. Got to have these kids. Got to make this amount of money. Got to drive that car. No, you don't. Because in light of eternity, what's it matter? Okay. Right? Like, eternity is an endurance race. And we got to keep this in mind. There's no finished products on this side of death. There is no such thing as a finished product on this side of death. And what do I mean by that? If you're not dead, guess God's not done, right? And you are needing to become who God wants you to become, not you need to get where he wants you to get. Who are you becoming in the process of life? We're going to take you to an interesting passage. I want you to, if you got your Bible, break it open to Mark chapter 5 for me. I got a great story for you today, but brace yourself, because it's a story within a story. It starts off in verse 21, and in my Bible, the heading reads, "A dead girl and a sick woman." A story within a story, okay? So I'm going to read, first of all, I want to start reading just a little bit here. This is verses 21 through 22. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue rulers — that's important. Why would that be important, that a synagogue ruler is coming to Jesus? Oh dear. Synagogue rulers didn't come to Jesus, right? They opposed him. So guess what this must mean? It's serious, right? This is serious. Synagogue ruler named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded, the Bible says, he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little girl is dying. Please come and put your hands on her and look at his faith here so that she will be healed and live. Jesus, I disagree with everything that you are and everything you embody, but right now I need a healing, and I know that if you touch my girl, she's gonna live." That's faith. That's faith of Jairus right there. She will be healed and live, right? Can you, I forgot verse 24. So Jesus went with him, right? That's what he did, right? You need it? Okay. Jesus went with him, okay? Can you sense Jairus' urgency, though? Can you sense his urgency as his daughter is on the verge of dying and all he wants, Jesus, if you can just come and touch her, if you can just come and touch her, right? She will live. And so guess what? So Jesus ran as fast as he could to Jairus' house and he healed his daughter within the next 5 minutes, the end. No, that's not how he operated. Jesus walked. That's not how the story plays out, because there's a story within a story. So Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, but guess what? A large crowd followed him and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years she'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. She spent everything that she had. It's likely that she was a widow, or that she had been divorced at this point because of this issue. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, just like Jairus did, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just can touch him, Jesus, if you just lay your hands on my daughter will be healed. And this lady's thinking, Jesus, if I can just touch you, I will be healed. Can you sense the woman's urgency right now? Can you sense her urgency? Well, story goes on. Unfortunately, Jesus had already told Jairus that he was going to heal his daughter, so he moved quickly so that the woman couldn't touch him and got to Jairus' house and healed her daughter. The end. No. That's not how the story goes, right? That's not how the story goes. Because whose healing is more important in this moment? I mean, Jairus' daughter dying, that's pretty serious. Man, she's been bleeding for 12 years. And Jesus could have been there like, oh, which do I do? I don't know, both kind of seem important. Now, you know what? Let's flip a coin, guys, and see what happens, right? No. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd, and he asked, who touched me? Who touched my clothes, right? Now just imagine Jairus in this moment. Like, come on, Messiah. Time's a-wasting. Remember my daughter's dying, right? And the disciples, they're even, you see the people? Yeah, I could just hear Peter's voice right now. You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you can ask, who touched me? Pause. Just keep in mind, Jesus always had the presence of mind to be present in the moment. He always had the presence of mind. That's why he can hang on the cross and forgive the guy's sins next to him at the same time. He was always present in the situation. Why? Because he always moved at a steady, intentional pace with his life. And so Jesus can ask, who touched me? But Jesus keeps looking around, and what's Jairus doing during this? Come on. But Jesus wants to keep looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, notice how he addresses her. That's going to be key. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from suffering. There is a story within a story. Why? Because Jesus refused to partner with Jairus's pace. And I'll tell you this, and you might not like this, and that's okay, okay? Jesus refuses to partner with your pace. He ain't gonna have any of it. You want what you want when you want it? Sorry. He is refusing to partner with your pace. Why? Because there's a story within a story, right? And so Jesus refuses to partner with Jairus' pace. You know, how might Jairus have viewed this delay, right? Right? Like, come on, are you serious? You're going to wait and try to find a woman who touched you in a crowd we've got things to do. More importantly, Jesus, you've got things to do, buddy. Pick up the pace. Pick up the pace. Pick up the pace. And so oftentimes our prayers are, pick up the pace, God. And God's saying, I'm not going to partner with it. I am slow, I am steady, and I am intentional. And there's a story within a story, and you are going to miss it, and I don't want you to. And so I'm right here, but I'm refusing to partner with your pace, okay? And so think about it like this. This is the thought that I came across, right? Her miracle, like this woman's miracle was meant to stir up Jairus's faith. That's what I want you to see. He's got a daughter who needs healing. But remember how Jesus addressed her? Daughter. Jesus just healed a daughter. And so this miracle, as much as it conflicts with Jairus' timeline, was meant to spur on faith for him. Her miracle was meant to stir up his faith, not his frustration or his disappointment, because she was a daughter too. Right? She was a daughter too. There's a story within a story, right? And I thought about this when I was reading this passage. Jesus had the power to fly. 3 years of ministry, that's what you're giving me, Father? 3 years of ministry to save the entire human race? Jesus had the power to fly, yet he always chose to walk. He always chose to walk. And I had this thought for you. You can like this, you can dislike this, but what in your life right now has you wishing that Jesus would be doing some flying about now? What in your life has you wishing Jesus would do some flying, and why might he be choosing to walk instead? There's a story within a story. Well, goes on here, while Jesus was still speaking, some men come from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Or more specifically, it's too late, man. Jairus, sorry, buddy. It is too late. In fact, that's what I wrote in my Bible here. It's too late. It's too late. Jesus, though, ignoring what they said, he told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, Jairus. Don't be afraid, just believe. And somebody here needs to write that down either in your notes or in your Bible, or underline that verse. Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Why is that important? Because Jesus refused to partner with the temptation to stop and turn back. And believe me, there was temptation to stop and turn back. But what does Jesus do? Keeps on walking. He keeps on walking because he is not going to partner with our temptation to stop and turn back. And the thing that I want to say to you today, whatever it is that you're staring at right now, maybe you're looking at a dead dream. Okay? Maybe you're looking at a dead calling. You might not be looking at a dead body. Okay? Unless there's things in your body that are dying. Okay? You might be looking at a dead marriage or a dead relationship. It is not too late for you. Keep walking. Keep walking. The slow, steady, intentional pace of obedience. Keep walking. Because how does this story end now? Because Jesus doesn't stop and turn back. And you can read the passage for yourself, but Jesus makes it all the way to Jairus' house. People are crying and there's lots of commotion. He just doesn't partner with that either. He's not going to partner with your crying or commotion either, okay? Or your pace, okay? Or your temptation to give up or you know, turn back, right? And he just walks in. People are laughing at him, right? Because they're mocking him, because he's not going to partner with that either, right? And he just walks in and he puts his hands on the girl and she's raised from the dead. Why? Because he kept walking. Because Jairus kept walking. So keep walking. Keep walking. because that little girl is going to live. Keep walking because that relationship is going to live. Keep walking because that dream is going to live. But it's probably not going to happen on the timeline that you want it to happen on. It's going to happen when God feels like it's good and ready for you. Because if it happens when it's not good and ready for you, he can't conflict his character. He's good and he's ready. So he's going to let you be good and ready, right? And so keep walking. Proverbs 21:5 says this: the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is, key word there, hasty, comes only to poverty. And I thought about, I've been in my Bible, God's had me on this word journey right now. And so anytime I see the word diligent, I've been underlining it. And I found diligent a lot of times in the book of Ezra, believe it or not. But anyway, and so I've been underlining it. And so right away, I wanted to look up that word diligent because it's used differently in the Hebrew. And how it's used in this proverb is very interesting. It's very interesting the way that the author uses the word diligent, because he doesn't use the word diligent. He uses what's called a metaphorical adjective. Metaphorical adjective. It's a sauna out there. Is there actually a sauna out there? No, what's that mean? It's hot and humid out there, right? We use metaphorical adjectives all the time. You just got a free English lesson there, all right? Okay? And so the word that he uses for diligent is actually, it translates digging a trench. It actually translates mining for gold. It actually translates threshing a field. What would those have in common in ancient times? Slow, methodical. Imagine threshing wheat. Slow, methodical, rhythmic, right? You go too fast, what's the danger? Haste makes waste. You go too fast. The danger is waste. The danger is waste. And oftentimes we're chasing things, we're running after things because we think we gotta have it now. No. Haste makes waste. Why are you running? So they all have this slow, methodical, steady pace to them, okay? You won't want to rush through digging a trench, because if you rush, what's going to happen? All your work collapses. You won't want to rush mining for gold, because what's going to happen? You're going to miss the gold, right? Haste makes waste. There's this slow, methodical, steady pace to the life that Jesus lived. Remember, he only had 3 years, and he could have ran to Jairus' house. He could have flown to Jairus' house, but he chose to walk because he didn't want to miss a story within a story. Because the woman, what would have happened? She wouldn't have been healed. She wouldn't have been healed, right? And so I want to talk a little bit more, I promise I'm not going long here. Pathways. Because we can't just embrace the Jesus pace, okay? Because some of you are here and you're just naturally slow pokes. Sorry, right? Raise your hand if you're married to a slow poke. No, I'm kidding. Don't raise your hand. Hallelujah, I didn't see that hand. Right? You can't just embrace the pace of Jesus, because some of you are just slow, but you aren't slow because you're steady or methodical. You are slow because you are scared. But some of you that are fast because you are scared. You are running because you're scared, or you are dragging your feet because you're scared. Okay? What does Jesus want you to do? He wants you to be him. He wants you to be like him. He wants you to walk. Right? And so don't just embrace his pace. You have to take his paths. Deuteronomy 8:6 says this: so obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fear him. And if you want to hear more about the fear of the Lord and the role that it plays in wisdom, tune in to Pastor Kirk's message last week and re-listen to it, please. Okay? But that's the idea here. We got to stay on the pathway of Jesus, because Jesus walked in selflessness and complete obedience to the Father. And Jesus is always consistent from the moment he got on this earth to the moment he left this earth to the moment that he's speaking to you right now. He was consistent in the invitation that he issued to his disciples. Do you remember what Jesus' invitation was? Two words. Follow me. Follow me. But Jesus, follow me. But Jesus, I got to follow me. But Jesus, if you just wait, follow me. Follow me. The slow, steady, methodical, intentional pace of Jesus. Follow me. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what's going to happen? He will make your paths straight. But you gotta follow him. You gotta follow him. And so I want to talk to you about pathways being life on the beat of Jesus. So pace is about living life at the speed of Jesus. Pathways is about living life on the beat of Jesus. What does that mean, beat? You'll hear about that sometimes where if you read in literature, old police officers that had street patrols, right? They called it their beat. Why did they call it their beat? Same thing every day. Walking the same thing every day. It's their beat that they're walking every single day. This comes from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, but don't just stand and ask. What do you got to do? Walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls if you are willing to walk at the steady pace on the steady path of Jesus. Stand, ask, and walk, baby. Stand, ask, and walk. And in the ancient world, what made a pathway a pathway? People walking on it. How did roads become roads? People walking on them, right? Back and forth, day after day, right? And so the Jesus beat, okay? Prayer, scripture, fasting, worship, Sabbath, repeat. Prayer, scripture, fasting, worship, Sabbath. Repeat. Get a look at that farmer out threshing that wheat. Just walking that line, threshing that wheat. This slow, methodical, diligent, intentional pace of Jesus that he walked in his life, that he gave us an invitation to follow him, to do the same thing. I'm going to leave you with this. This is Proverbs 4, 25 through 26. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Jesus has given us a firm path. Prayer, scripture, fasting, worship, Sabbath, repeat. Let's start walking the beat of Jesus. Wisdom walks, folks. It's not hasty. It doesn't drag its feet, right? It walks. It examines the path, and then it takes the right next step. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this awesome body of believers. Thank you for just how you are encouraging us constantly with this open invitation of follow me. Follow me. And Father, I thank you that you lived a life of steady, methodical, diligent, intentional pace for us so that we can get in line and follow you wherever it is that you're leading us. And so right now, Jesus, I just pray your blessings over this body of believers, and I pray that you would help us as we journey to embracing your pace in your pathways. In Jesus' name, amen.